Running a Fever, episode 49. Do what I say, not what I do.
It's the first day of spring. It's the first day of spring as I record this, and it is currently beautiful outside, almost cloudless sky, some pretty wispy clouds up there, and 65 degrees. But this morning when I left my house, it was 32 degrees, freezing on the first day of spring. So yesterday, or the previous episode, it's actually 2 days ago for me, during the hydration report, I talked about the word anabolic. And I've done some research on this in the intervening 48 hours. There are two opposing terms, and this is the chemical biology section of the medical department. So part of the medical report, this is chemical biology. And anabolic, there's anabolic and catabolic. These are two opposing terms that mean pretty much the opposite thing. In anabolism, cells will synthesize. In other words, they grow more easily. And the and that's cells like muscle. Fat cells will more easily release fat into the bloodstream. Catabolic is a destructive process. In other words, if you drink, so I was talking about hydration, and drinking lots of water is what encourages the synthesis in your cells. So that's why bodybuilders who want to build muscle try to get their body to operate anabolically. So they have to drink lots and lots of water, because that's one thing that triggers this process. So if you're dehydrated, then you're in catabolism. Your body's operating catabolically. And, you know, this is all from a couple of articles online. I will post something in the show notes, but I'm probably going to expand on this in a later Fever Fact or somewhere else. So if you're dehydrated, you're going to be destroying cells. So you could, that's when you could lose muscle, and I suppose you'll lose fat too, but you know, eventually, you know, you kick off that starvation mode of your body, and that's very hard to get out of. So that concludes the medical department report for the day. And now it's confession time again. I don't know why I'm always confessing to you guys, but that's just the way it is. I'm not perfect, and I hope you learn from my mistakes. And sometimes, I don't know, if you do something intentionally, is that a mistake? I don't think so. I think you call it something else. I'm not sure what you call it, but I don't think you can call it a mistake. Confession time. I'm in a kind of a difficult situation here. I know that what I've told you is that I have been sort of trying to level out, increase my calories while maintaining my weight, which has already become difficult. It's not going to get any easier, but it's already become difficult because of the metabolic rate slowing down in my body, because I have at various times starved myself over the past couple of months. And I know I shouldn't do that. I know it's a process I'm going to have to work my way out of over time. And, you know, it's kind of dodgy. I'm not even sure if I can do it. other people, you know, have had problems doing it. And certainly I've had my days of yo-yo diets. Definitely been there. I'm hoping that exercise will save me, continuing to ingest plenty of protein and build muscle. That will help me over time. But I was sort of dedicated to maintaining my weight for the next few months, and I'm hesitant to say 6 months, but that's really what I probably should commit to, is 6 months. Yeah, so April, May, June, July, August, September, and I wouldn't start really dieting again in terms of lower calories until October, which is a long time. So what am I confessing today? Well, I'm still in this contest, and I've talked about the contest, and it's only got, I've got a weigh-in tomorrow, and then I have 1 week till the last final weigh-in a week from tomorrow, Thursday, March 29th, 2018. And it wouldn't be that big a deal except for the fact that early on, you know, I was pretty heavy. Started out 278 with my clothes on. You know, that was a lot. I lost 15 pounds the first week, and then I continued to lose a lot of weight in those first few weeks. By the third week, I've already lost 11% of my body weight, and that's a lot. So by the second week, I was in first place, and I've been in first place ever since. First place wins the most money. So there are several factors. There's the competitive, ambitious nature that is to some degree in all of us, I suppose, but I definitely have that character defect, or I mean, if you want to call it a character defect, it depends on how you use it, basically. The guy in second place is securely in second place, and he has been for a number of weeks. There was some shuffling at the beginning, but he eventually caught up, and he's the guy I think that has won a couple of years in a row, and this would be the first year that he'd lost or not come in first in a while. And he's already lost more than he's ever lost before. And the guy's nuts. He's crazy. He will just completely starve himself to win the contest. And it's mostly about money. If there's no money involved, he won't get into it. But anyway, that's him, you know. And, you know, we're all in this contest and money's involved and it's all about weight loss. So I shouldn't complain because that's the contest and I entered it. But because he's been aggressively, continuing to aggressively move, even though I was firmly, securely in first place, he's securely in second place. He's got 5 percentage points over the next guy. He has been gaining on me the last few weeks, and in the last week he lost 2% of his body weight. He's now within 2.5 pounds, or 2.5% of me, and, you know, he would have to lose 5 pounds to catch me from my weight from last week. And so he's not going to catch me unless I gain weight, or maybe if I maintain my current weight. I don't know. But I'm so close. It's a week away. I don't want to lose after I've been in the lead for so long. I don't know. And you know, this is, I mean, I know that it's not the healthy thing to do, but I'm probably going to pretty much starve myself this week to make sure that I win. And I don't really want to, but I want to win. That's the thing. So, confession, I am officially doing the wrong thing. Do as I say, not as I do. I hate when people say that. Sometimes it makes sense. You know, you have to learn the rules before you can break them. But in this case, it doesn't make any sense at all. It really doesn't. I am succumbing to the same mentality that is the whole problem. The whole problem with fitness and weight loss is that it's all about weight loss and it's not about health at all. A lot of times it's about looks. It's not about living a long life because you love your life that much. Live fast, die young, or leave a good-looking corpse. That's a quote from one of my other favorite movies, True Romance. That is popular mentality. Popular psychology, whatever you want to call it. Popular theme. And I'm succumbing to it, and I'm doing it right now. You know? So, I mean, I can't judge anybody for doing that. and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just taking you along for this thing, and I do things that are wrong, sometimes intentionally. Is it really a good enough reason? Is my health worth $220 or however much I'm gonna get? I can't even remember. It's not even really so much the money. It's just the competition aspect of it. This morning, I weighed in at 118 pounds naked, so I'm in the teens officially now. And I really don't wanna lose more than a few pounds before I start just maintaining. Probably stick to that 114 pound goal, which is a 60 pound loss. And I think that'll be enough to win the contest, and then I can go about my business trying to get healthy. I had a strange notion that I could actually fit into my new blue jeans or black jeans by this weekend, but I doubt it. 3 o'clock, not a whole lot of people out here. I'm at the marina, ducks on the pond. It's just a gorgeous day. I mean, it's just magnificent out here. I get a picture of the marina itself. I mean, there's still several people on the dam here. I'm overlooking the water on one side. I got a ball field on the other side. It looks like it's been tended recently, so people are ready to start playing baseball, which is awesome. Love baseball. So fashion report, you know, I try not to talk about underwear more than once a month. And this is sort of quasi about underwear. You know, it's not bad now that I'm out here, but, you know, getting dressed, I was thinking, well, it's so warm today. If I wear my compression pants and my compression shirt, my long sleeve t-shirt and my sweatpants, I'm gonna be pretty hot. Actually, it's not hot so far. There's a nice breeze. I'll probably be sweating by the time we're done here.
It's all I can do not to say, Mom, you're gonna get the kayak.
People had 4 dogs of greatly varying breeds. It's like my dog's that well, but it looked to me like a Pekingese. I'm not sure, Pekingese might be a cat, I don't know. But anyway, looked like a black lab and a corgi and another type of dog. Passing 0.35, we walked a whole 15 hundredths of a mile. It's so beautiful that I can't resist taking pictures like this one. The sun is shining in the that little forest, or little the trees over there, shining through the trees, and it's just, I mean, just gorgeous. The sky, this big streak of cloud. So it's irresistible to a photographer. So back to the fashion department. It's not that warm. I was about to come out in my compression pants. I mean, I was ready to do that. Honestly, my lower body doesn't look that bad. I'm not really self-conscious about it. Don't have much of a backside, but that's not really serious detriment, especially when I'm wearing this t-shirt. It's not a tall size, but it's pretty long. And I was about ready. I was actually ready to do that. Then it occurred to me, there's a whole bunch of kids here. It occurred to me that they might be underwear. You know, I don't want to be running around in my underwear. I don't think they look that much different, but I think there's a subtle difference. I looked around the internet. Apparently, if you have these seams on the outside, then it is underwear. I don't know. So anyway, I decided against that because these compression pants fit that description. So I'm out here in my compression shirt, compression pants, long sleeve t-shirt, and long sweatpants. There's a nice one with a duck standing right on the edge of the spillway. Got a picture of them. It's 50-50 whether any of these come out blurred or clear. In addition to my extreme undernourishment, undereating, I'm also getting a little extreme on the exercise. And I hate to say that because, man, you guys know what I've been through. I'm not running, but at work, I've been walking quite a bit. Today, I sort of increased my hourly walk by another circuit of the building. People are probably starting to wonder, does this guy ever do any work, or is he just walking around all day? And they have a point, but I'm overdoing it this week. I think before 9 o'clock, I already had 6,000. That's not right. By noon, I had 6,000 steps. Pretty good distance past the dam, so I'm just turning back. We'll see what the watch says. And by the way, one of the reasons I know I'm overdoing it is because I get done, or even while I'm in the middle of it. Generally, the watch won't like alarm until like 10 minutes of working out, and it says, yeah, you know, keep it up. And all kinds of little stats I didn't know. I mean, my miles per hour show up there. I think today when I looked at was 2.3 miles an hour, which doesn't sound like much, but you know, it's 2.3 miles an hour. Time to an hour, calories burned. Calories burned per workout, 10, 11 minutes is generally only about 50. So, but if I do that seven times a day, it's 350 just from walking. My basal rate is 1800, and that's another, you know, that's 2150. And I think by noon I'd burned already over 2000 calories. And I don't know, let's just check and see what it is right now. That's busy telling me I'm doing good. 1738. That's calories, 10,900 steps. So I'm halfway through my walk and it's already over 10,000 steps. So I'm overdoing it. I'm gonna pay for it. I know I'm gonna pay for it. I'm human, temptation sometimes too great to overcome. With the end of the weight loss contest at work, I really wanna keep it going because honestly, that's one of the motivating factors. You know, I was already on this program of working out, even though I was out for 6 weeks for that injury. I was, you know, I had been on that program for over 2 months by the time I started the contest, January 11th, and I hadn't lost any weight. You know, if you go back to those episodes, you'll hear me expressing my frustration at not losing any weight and trying to motivate myself to keep going despite that. And I don't think I ever really had a plan. I think I was considering starting the liquid diet. The juice diet is what I used to lose 62 pounds a few years ago. The liquid diet that I came up with is a modification of that. It's just sort of the lazy man's liquid diet or juice diet. I'm not actually gonna do the juicing and drink the juice. I'm just gonna drink these really tasty sweet milkshakes that I get from Walmart. They're 190 calories each, so I could easily drink one for each meal a day and my calorie count would be very low. That was the plan. Not a particularly good plan, and probably would have worked just the same way that starvation has worked for me in the last few months. But even though it sort of encouraged me to do the wrong thing, I think that having that support group really helps to keep me accountable. I put together, everybody's always talking about a maintenance plan to follow up the Biggest Loser contest. And we got 22 people in that contest. I don't know, probably a couple hundred in the building. Some say that the idea of putting money in a pool is not really something a lot of people want to do, so you might get better participation if there was no money. And you know, making it a competition, I think, might discourage some people too. For some people, it's a motivating factor, for good or for evil. I think it just depends on what your goal is. So I've talked a little bit about the biometric screenings that we have in the wellness program at work. So my idea was to track the factors that come into play during that screening. So I looked up the requirements. There's a BMI requirement. You only have to be under a certain BMI. It's not necessarily a target range. There's a blood pressure requirement. You only have to be under a certain blood pressure. So I'm emphasizing that to say that it's not really health oriented completely. But supposedly, I guess, it reduces the financial burden that the company has, and that's probably why they're doing it. And if you don't meet the BMI, you can still get a waist measurement that's supposed to account for the idea of the bodybuilder who has a high BMI because of his weight to height ratio. And they're just kind of saying that's not necessarily a bad thing, which is good. Still very rough, very simplistic. A lot more people out here on the way back. So my idea was to track BMI, doing the height to weight ratio, the blood pressure, and the measurement if needed or desired. And optionally, maybe have a one of those handheld machines that measures your body fat through impedance analysis. A lot of cyclists out here are probably going to have to get a bicycle at some point. I'm feeling my legs right now, my back, shoulder, everything. Probably because I've probably walked some miles today. Is that a blister on my foot? I probably need to check that. I just need to slow down. This is crazy. And the important thing about my plan was that it was designed to be non-competitive. There's going to be no financial requirement. You know, really in working it out today, you know, I came up with just, I mean, not even having to sign up, just making the measurement available and tracking available. So if you wanted to get measured, you could just walk in and people could sign up to get notified and be on the email list and all that, but you wouldn't have to sign up. You wouldn't have to pay. You wouldn't even have to do all the measurements. You could just do one. You could even call in your own, you know, say, here's my weight and here's my blood pressure, and we'd track it for you. That's kind of the plan that I'm drawing up now. Some people kind of wanted the same type of deal where they were rewarded in some way. I just said, you know what, I'll just make that available too. We'll have Biggest Loser Part 2, which, by the way, I'm not going to participate in. I don't really want to do that anymore. I've got my own plan. I do like having an incentive though, which is why I'm really hoping that the new one sort of takes off, and we'll see. You know, I'm still sort of getting input, and I think a lot of people want something and they don't really want to design it or run it. So that's kind of why I'm doing it, so that more people are involved. And you know, there's actually about 24 weeks between the end of the Biggest Loser and the end of the deadline for completing screening, which is a long time. So there's plenty of time to prepare, I think, even without extreme dieting. And I'll be doing my ab works the whole time. And by the way, yesterday's workout was the combining the two exercises that I had done previously. The leg lifts and the sort of reverse crunches with a twist. I don't even know what that's called. I just call it a reverse crunch with a twist. And I'm feeling it today. Feeling a little soreness in my abdominals, which is good. I mean, that means you know that you're breaking down muscle and so it can rebuild stronger. Of course, the problem is there's no fuel to rebuild. So I don't know if there's any point in exercising until next week, because I don't have any fuel. I'm catabolic at this point, just shedding everything. It's frustrating, but you know, it feels good. It feels like I'm doing something, even if I'm not really performing at my best in terms of strengthening my abdominal muscle. Hopefully it'll have some good effect. And this weekend I'm driving hundreds of miles. I'm gonna drive to Louisville on Friday, taking the day off from work, spend the night there, get up Saturday, and I should have time to fit in a workout either Friday morning, Friday night, or Saturday morning, or even Saturday night. So I think I will get my third run in this week. This is the second one of about a mile. Of course, every one of those breaks that I'm taking at work today was about 0.4 miles. So that's a lot. It's important to get the official workout in the podcast in. Since I'm going to be driving and interacting with people, which for me takes a lot of energy, I'm going to immediately after tomorrow's weigh-in start back to my 6-meal-a-day schedule and giving myself some energy for the weekend, because I'm going to need it. I can't be irritable and I can't be tired and all those things. I've got to have my energy for the things that I have to drive safely and to interact with people and be a friendly and somewhat tolerable to be around. So basically, here's what my 6-meal-a-day diet usually consists of. Oatmeal in the morning, occasionally with something else. Oatmeal in the morning usually, sometimes egg whites, I'm sort of getting into that. But definitely oatmeal, and then like yogurt for the morning snack. Lunch, I honestly haven't quite figured out yet. When I'm going home for lunch, it's easy to make something up. Moderate calories, more like a 500-600 calorie thing. I can do tacos, I can do all kinds of things. When I have to stay at work, a lot of times it's just drinking a shake. Dietitian would rather have me drink the shake at nighttime because I need more calories, more protein during the day. You gotta eat before you're hungry, and you gotta eat, consume enough fuel to last you for until the next meal. And at lunch, you still need a lot of fuel to get through the rest of the day. So that's something I'm kind of working on, but if I were coming home for lunch, then I would make some ground chicken and a lettuce wrap or a taco or something like that. And then the afternoon snack is jerky, and at night is when we usually, well, I have been sort of making that my big meal, but I found out that's not a good idea. Sometimes I am drinking a shake or just having tuna or sardines or shrimp. So I think that's probably what I'm gonna go with. Tuna, sardines, or shrimp, and then try to come up with a higher calorie, higher protein lunch. On Friday, I'm just sitting here in my car because there's so much to say and not even enough time to do it. Friday, because it's Lent and Friday is a no meat day. So I'm probably going to have to just have yogurt for at least the snacks and try to lunch. I mean, I may, you know, I've looked at fast food, low calorie, moderate calorie stuff. So there's Subway sandwiches, there's that are under 600 calories, and there's, I mean, even if I go to Burger King and get a cheeseburger and maybe even small fries, I can still sneak in under 600 calories. So I'm probably going to wind up doing that. I will talk to you next time, and it'll probably be something weird, and I probably will be in a different part of the country. Until then, keep the fever. I will see you next time.
This is the Paddle Up Podcast Network. PaddleUpMedia.com.